Lesson 24, Departure to Horror. This lesson begins on page 171 of your book. This audio text version contains the reading of any listed footnotes. As I've said many times, the events within the life of Jesus are indicative of prophecy. Without telling us at the time, by using the steps of Jesus, God was quietly revealing the future to mankind. While everything Jesus did was for good, his life was being used as a stencil to reveal staging for events of the most heinous man the world will ever witness. In the last lesson, I showed how Satan would come to the Antichrist on the 5th of January 2034 for the purpose of tempting him. This is equivalent to when Satan came to Jesus for the same purpose. See the graph on page 171 of your book. The graph depicts how Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, and after spending 40 days in isolation, was tempted by Satan. The same pattern will apply to the Antichrist. Satan will come to him, after 40 days past the signing of the peace treaty. Then, he too will be tempted by the devil. This is where things begin rapidly falling into place. The Bible doesn't tell us how long Satan was with Jesus, in terms of time. It only gives us a brief summary of the conversation they had. In the Bible, only the relevant parts of their communication is preserved. While I can only speculate as to what actually took place between them, I think their meeting required a certain amount of time for the devil to present his offer, and for Jesus to formulate his replies. Now, I surely cannot explain how Satan brought Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, much less to the top of an utterly high mountain. Footnote number 147, Matthew, chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and their glory. End of footnote. Clearly, the Bible records that he did, therefore, it happened. Based on my study of the timing of the future, it will take Satan 6 days to complete his temptation of the Antichrist. When investigating prophecy, I always pursue symmetry, based on a minimum of two separate anchor points. Just so you know, these anchor points must be based on differing sources of information in order to be considered. This method prevents basing all the calculations on a single source. It's not unlike the biblical requirement of having a minimum of two witnesses to verify a charge in court. Two truly separate and independent accounts of an event help eliminate any error from being carried forward. This is the case for my calculations here. When data from differing prophecies produce the same date, we can enjoy a much greater confidence in it. Friends, I've already had spectacular success using this method of studying scripture, so you can have confidence in my efforts herein. I still urge everyone to put my words to the test. It's okay to trust, so long as you verify. I'm going to first reveal the date that the Antichrist sells and trades his soul to Satan, and then I'll follow up with the amazing evidence proving this date is actually God's miraculous prophecy being displayed before us. As it turns out, the tempting of the Antichrist will last a total of 6 days, ending on the 10th of January 2034. This date falls on the Antichrist's 56th birthday. There doesn't appear to be any relevance for the number 56, other than the previously discussed similarity to Julius Caesar. The Antichrist, when he submits to Satan, will be the same age that Julius Caesar was when he was assassinated by the Roman Senate. Study the graph on page 173. It depicts the date of the signing of the peace treaty on November 26, 2033. You can see that 40 days later is January 5, 2034. This is when Satan will come to the Antichrist to tempt him. 6 days later, on January 10, 2034, the Antichrist will accept the deal, trading his soul for becoming ruler of the world. The fact that the Antichrist will submit and surrender on his birthday is significant. It has been my experience in life that generally speaking, the degree of vanity a person possesses can often be reflected in their expectations for celebration of their birthday. The Bible tells us that the Antichrist will be extremely vainglorious. Footnote number 148, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 4. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped. End of footnote. Satan is going to subvert that weakness of the Antichrist. That's how he'll attack him, basing his temptation on this very quality. When the Antichrist finally agrees to worship Satan, it will fall on his birthday. If you're alive on that day, closely observe the events surrounding him, as I'm sure his birthday bash will be among the biggest the world has ever seen. After all, the Antichrist will have just made the biggest deal of his life. Going back to the date of January 5, 2034, we see this event is actually about Satan. It's the day he comes to test, and, or tempt the Antichrist. While the Antichrist has a role in the event, he's not the one who initiates it. No, the Antichrist is merely the target of Satan's attack. This distinction is important, because we must then realize, that while the ratios were created based on the life of the Antichrist, they do in fact reflect incidents, relating to Satan himself. That explains why the date the Antichrist accepts the offer to worship Satan, is not directly part of the ratio. But, after the Antichrist agrees to worship Satan, the two become inextricably linked in prophecy. The Bible uses dates of events involving the Antichrist to predict affairs which will affect Satan. Recall, from our earlier discussion that the time between, when the regular sacrifice was turned aside, until the abomination, that causes desolation, was set up, will be 1290 days. Review on page 73 of your book. The signing of the peace treaty is precisely 1290 days before the third wake-up call, on June 7, 2037. This is the day the idol, in the image of the Antichrist, will be erected in the Holy of Holies. But, God was not done using that number of days. As I've said before, every prophecy has at least a dual component. This prophecy has at least three elements to it. The second element revolves around the building currently sitting atop the Temple Mount. It is called the Dome of the Rock. Solomon's temple burned to the ground on August 12, 587 BC. Nebuchadnezzar's forces destroyed the temple, ceasing the sacrifice on this day. This is the first anchor point on the soul, or worship line, of the master grid. Precisely 1290 biblical years later, on February 4, 686, the Dome of the Rock was constructed over the temple site. The reason the Dome of the Rock is called the abomination that causes desolation is because it is a Muslim temple, occupying God's holy ground. The dome is constructed in the shape of an octagon. Recall the number 8 is the number of destruction. On each of the 8 walls is a verse from the Quran, which directly denies Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is a graphic symbol of who the Antichrist is, and what he's going to be all about. The third element of this prophetic number is a prophecy of when Satan is going to be thrown out of heaven. Get your Bible and read Daniel, chapter 12, verse 11. This same verse is presented back on page 73. In this translation, I have merely gone back to the root words used in the original manuscript. From the time of the perpetual submission, until the departure of the detestable one, to cause horror, there will be 1290 days. While the meaning is a bit different than what's printed in your Bible, it essentially says the same thing. Go to BibleHub.com and read the verse displayed using the multi-format. You will quickly see that all I did is show the definition of each of the root Greek words used in the verse. I find that breaking down the words are incredibly revealing. The word for time is eumaet, and comes from the root word eth, ith, and means duration of time. The word for taken away is huzar. It comes from the root word soar and means to depart. The word for daily sacrifice is hatarmit, and it is derived from Tamid, which means perpetual. The word for set up is welatet. Its root is nathen, and means to give, submit. The word for detestable thing is siskos. The root is shikkuts, and means something detestable. The word for desolation is samem. Its root is shamem, and translates to cause horror. Looking at the words of the verse now, indicate God is speaking of a different prophetic event. The words perpetual submission clearly speaks of the Antichrist agreeing to worship Satan. The departure of the detestable one can only be Satan. His stated purpose will be to cause horror. The duration between those two events will be 1290 days. All that remains is to calculate the date when this departure takes place. Recall, the Antichrist agrees to surrender his free will to Satan by agreeing to worship him on the 10th of January 2034. We find the new date by adding 1290 days to that day. Please review the chart on page 177. It accounts for the 1290 days as follows: 356 days in the year 2034. The days in years 2035 and 2036 add up to 730. Finally, we can see there are 204 days in 2037, to achieve a total number of days equal to 1290. So clearly, some major event is going to occur on the 23rd of July in 2037. We can see that this departure of the detestable one is going to unleash the release of horror upon the earth. It's going to begin 1290 days after the perpetual submission. I'm sure by now, most of you can already picture in your minds what's coming next. In the follow-on lesson, we discuss both what that event is, as well as what it means to the prophetic calendar. I assure you the timing and symmetry of the date will leave you convinced of its authenticity. Lesson 24, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, How long will Satan spend tempting the Antichrist? Discuss the meaning of the number. Question 2, How many days will there be between the signing of the treaty and placement of the idol in the Holy of Holies? List the verse. Question 3, We each must agree to worship God through His Son Jesus Christ. Explain the parallel of how people will one day soon worship Satan. Question 4, Why did God use the life of Jesus as a template? What was God attempting to do for us? When you're ready, you can proceed on to lesson 25, Lucifer Has Fallen. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser to return to the page with the chapter 5 lessons. Then move on to lesson 25, Lucifer Has Fallen. Click on the blue box to hear the lesson with all footnotes read aloud. Click on the green box to hear the version without them. If you're using an audio player along with the thumb drive to listen to the book, it will automatically sequence to the next lesson. If you wish to stop play, just hit pause or stop. As long as you keep the thumb drive in the player, it will remember your place when you resume listening. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for lesson 25, labeled 5.25, Lucifer Has Fallen, to hear the next lesson.